get here. And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. This is a special non-numbered off-the-grid show where I sit down and have a conversation with Tony Scalzo and Miles Zuniga from Fastball about what the definitive version of a song is. Say the song, You Really Got Me. Is the Kinks version the definitive version, or is the Van Halen one the definitive version? Therein lies an argument. We play a bit of the songs in each of them. Now, the reason why I ended up doing this was because they've been doing some special playlists for Spotify. And in those playlists, they sit down and they talk about the songs and they play the songs for you. So when Miles and Tony asked me to do it, they were like, oh, the three of us could talk about these songs and then we could you could put it out as a podcast. And the thing is there is an edited version on Spotify. I will put a link to it on the podcast so you can hear the whole songs. And this one, we don't play the whole songs. I was just kind of playing them from Spotify on my phone, knowing that they were going to insert the songs later. But the commentary that we make in between and while we're listening to them, I thought was fun. And I thought this conversation was fun. So I ask you to do me this favor, and that is go to our Facebook page after you've listened to this show and let me know if you think I should do more like this. Maybe we should have things where we just sit down and have one topic and a couple people sit down and hash it out. I think that's a good thing. If you think it's a good thing, let us know on our Facebook page, okay? And don't forget to like our Facebook page. Fastball put out a great new album earlier this year. They were on the show back in May. Their new album, Step Into the Light, is out. They've been on tour all summer with Everclear and doing some shows with Vertical Horizon as well. And now they're doing some shows on their own. They are on tour. Go to fastballtheband.com. Hear the tunes from Step Into the Light. They're still writing amazing songs. They're still playing great shows. And they're two of my favorite dudes. I love hanging out with Tony. I love hanging out with Miles. I've had a great time knowing those guys over the last 20 plus years, and I care a lot about them, and it meant a lot to me to do this conversation with them, and I had a blast. So I want to thank Tony and Miles for asking me to do this with them. I had a blast. Hopefully you'll have a blast. So enjoy our conversation about what song is the definitive version. This is Miles Zuniga and Tony Scalzo from Fastball. Let's get down.
No tenderness like before in your face.
Hostess with the mostest.
Welcome to How Did I Get Here with Miles Zuniga and Tony Scalzo from Fastball.
Guys have been out on the road. Joint venture.
You guys went out on the road. Last time you were here, you left and you went on the road.
We did, yeah.
And then you've been gone all summer.
Pretty much.
How was it?
Great.
I watched some videos. Videos and stuff online of you guys.
So, yeah. What did you see?
I saw you guys playing, it was an occasionally one song every once in a while.
Oh, just fan.
Yeah, fan, phone videos.
iPhone footage.
iPhone videos. Sometimes those can be good.
Sure. We had a great tour. It was a great tour with Everclear, and then we did a little tour by ourselves. And we're going to go back out again.
Yeah.
Soon, go out to LA and do some shows around there and then do the East Coast. And then by then, the year's almost over. So
you guys are back in action, full.
We're shooting another video.
Oh, no shoot.
No shoot.
No shoot. With Nigel Dick again?
We're shooting another video.
Yeah.
Wow.
Out in Los Angeles.
Wow.
When we go out there, we'll be out there in 2 weeks.
Man, congratulations.
Thank you.
This album is really great.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to see you guys out there playing a lot again and playing big shows. And
it's fun.
Getting interpolated, which, by the way, I learned from you guys last time you were on the show.
Yeah.
But today, what we're here to talk about is songs and covers of songs and which version of the song is the definitive one. And we're going to get into some arguments. And we're going to start with the song You Really Got Me.
All right? Yeah, You Really Got Me, written by Ray Davies from the Kinks, originally recorded by the Kinks. And this is the Kinks version here.
Here we go.
So do we listen to the whole song?
No, we just listen to songs. Right.
Just listen up to the first. Oh well.
Listen up to the
first
chorus.
It doesn't matter.
We're
not going to use any. We're not going to use any of this. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, this song from 1964? Isn't it really early? I mean, it's early beat music, British Invasion. No one had ever heard anything like that. Plus, it's got that distorted guitar.
Right, and is that the first
claim?
They're the first guys with the slit.
Right, so they put razor slits in the speaker.
Okay.
Intentionally, to make it sound ragged.
But coincidentally enough, the other version by Van Halen started off originally, we probably all heard it for the first time, with Eruption at the top of it. So we were also hearing something we had never heard before.
Sure.
A style, and then, like, once it gets into the song, the energy is pretty out of control.
Uh-huh.
Should we?
Well, yeah.
Wait a second. I've got to figure something out.
Okay.
Did you hear, when you heard the Van Halen version, was it the first time you'd heard the song?
As far as my memory serves, yes.
Did you know the Kinks song?
As far as my memory serves, yes. That was the first time.
I don't remember.
Well, I know for a fact that I knew the Kinks song.
And what did you think when you...
And when I heard the Van Halen version, I was totally blown away. I mean, in a positive way. I wasn't in any way going,
okay,
oh, what are they trying to do to this great song? I was like, whoa, they made it like 100 times better. That's what I thought. Well, plus I was, I think, 13
right.
or 14. When was it, 78? You know, you just read the book.
1978.
Yeah.
So I was 14, and debut, I was playing music then. And I was into rock and roll.
This version's pretty extraordinary, just for the electric guitar, because no one had heard anybody play the electric guitar this way.
Also, no offense to Dave.
I wonder if anybody goes like, I've never heard cymbals sound like that, because they had an Alex sound.
Yeah.
The first time you heard that freaky Alex.
This song has a lot going for it, this version.
All right, let's hear it. Van Halen, You Really Got Me.
That's sick.
Yeah,
just sick and huge.
Yeah.
And right away, Eddie.
Yeah,
it's sick. I couldn't even like go back to listening to the regular.
What's funny is I find that it's not stiff. It's sexier. It has this kind of more of a snaky...
Well, the other one swings. This one slinks. You're right.
Yeah.
It like like a snake.
Like a snake.
It's definitely
sexy snake.
It's definitely sexier, and it benefits from the advances in recording. And also amplifiers and everything. But there's no denying there was like little Mozart in the band as well. On the guitar.
Yeah,
you just phrasing.
Got the genius on the guitar. That guy's a genius.
Yeah.
And then it just all comes together. That you know, I don't know if it's the definitive version, but that's the version I normally want to hear. I love the Kinks. I really love the Kinks. But that version there, man, you could run a mile in record time listening to that.
Yeah. The reverb was what kind of took me aback, because that
everything
the Kinks one is so
it.
Dry
yeah.
and like tight.
Yeah, Van Halen's just totally wet.
yeah. L.A. Who was that guy? Oh, Ted Templeman.
Doors.
The Doors.
He did the Doors
and the Doobies.
Is that right?
I don't.
Ted Templeman.
I know he did the Doors.
Anyways,
I don't know about the Doobie Brothers.
I don't know. So
all Warner acts though.
What I'd like to say is, I don't know if. That's the definitive version, but it is my favorite version.
Yeah.
There are other songs on this list, though, that I will claim are the definitive version.
Yeah, we're gonna argue more. This was an easy in. Tony, you also agree that Van Halen owns
pretty
you
much.
You Really Got Me.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. They bought it.
They bought it.
Yeah.
They totally bought it.
So next up is a song that has been, I think... Since the cover of it by Jeff Buckley came out, this has been one of the most overplayed songs. Whenever somebody dies, whenever there's something happens, it's a thing.
Yeah,
I tend to think it's misinterpreted too. I mean, and just sort of people run with the awesome progression, melody, and a few choice phrases. And I'm not sure, you know, I think that it's probably a pretty deep concept when Cohen put it together. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Do you have his version?
Yep. I got them both. Should we listen to the Leonard Cohen version of Hallelujah first?
Sure.
Or? Okay, here we go. Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah.
Did you pick this one?
Yeah, to me, this is the
because this crux. Is kind of a drag.
This
right?
is the crux of. Well, we could talk about this in a second.
Right. I mean, what do people think when they hear that line? You don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth. And what do they think of that?
All right, so,
not
so,
musicians hear it.
Okay, so
know.
So listening to that, because I hadn't really, I actually hadn't really listened to that before.
It's like a bad guy from a 40s movie singing it.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a terrible
songwriter.
It's a terrible version of an incredible song. Like the song itself is amazing.
Amazing.
But that recording is like funeral dirge.
Yeah.
And I love Leonard Cohen, but that there's a reason I think that version never did. No one, you know, you had to dig around and find it. That's precisely what Jeff Buckley or whoever was responsible for him covering that song, I assume it was him, did.
Well, it was probably in his dad's record collection.
It was like here's just a diamond just sitting here waiting to be revealed. But so
can you hear the magic in songs? Like when you know what
sometimes.
I mean?
Sometimes
when they're delivered like that,
that'd be pretty tough.
It would be hard because I gotta say I've worked in record stores. Leonard Cohen record is very striking. Cover of The Woman in Flames, and naturally I'm putting that thing on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna
yeah.
play it, and then I couldn't get through. You know, I'd be like, whoa, this is not what I'm into. And
I recognize his genius, but I don't actively listen to him a lot. I have like
me.
A greatest hits. That's I'll be honest. That's
and I got a couple of I got that too.
Suzanne and right. stuff like that's good.
And some
I'm
of
your
it's
man.
Just like, hey.
I don't know if I've been
wow. there.
Wow. Later.
So I'm Your Man is a great
that's
album.
That's from the 80s, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Except for one song. There's a song on I'm Your Man called Jazz Police. Don't know what it's doing on there.
Right.
It's terrible. But if you took that one song off, I'm Your Man is brilliant from start to finish. And the production is very 80s.
It's everybody knows, right?
Yeah. It sounds like Miami,
great song.
Miami Vice, kind of a little bit. All the synthesizers and stuff. But it doesn't matter because the songs are so great and his performance is really great.
I'd have picked Concrete Blonde's version of Everybody Knows too.
Oh yeah,
as a great,
well, we could
great
still,
cover.
We could still do that, but I would say that Leonard owns that one. But anyhow,
Leonard.
Back to Hallelujah.
They're on yeah. their first name.
Now, list. When people cover this song, because tons of them do since yeah. Buckley did it, they all do it in
horrible.
The style of Jeff Buckley.
I don't like anybody else's version but Jeff Buckley.
Well,
to
plus
me,
they're just going to imitate the Jeff Buckley version.
That's what I
version.
Feel like everyone's
yeah,
doing.
I mean,
yeah,
well, it's done now. It's been covered.
To me, he just owns it from the get-go, and it's everything about it's brilliant, and it's just him and his guitar. That's my favorite part. I don't even think there's any overdubs.
Whole, yeah, that was a good setup I think this, he had, the Stratocaster and voice.
Uh-huh. It sounds like it's all live.
Well,
do you hear another instrument? Listen.
No, let's hear Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah.
Guess it takes a while to get warmed up.
you make me laugh. It's been a long time since I've actually heard this version.
Really? There's a lot going on there, just that.
Yeah.
Just one guitar.
Came up with his own intro too.
Yeah. For it.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased.
Right away, you're like, "Wow,
yeah.
listen to that voice."
Yeah, yeah.
I remember being on the bus in like Europe,
yeah,
and this leaking through the hallway and going, "What that? What is that?" You're like, "It's Jeff Buckley,"
yeah,
and just whoa, I've never heard.
When that album came out,
he was alive back then.
When that album came out, I deliberately avoided it,
yeah,
because of the cover. I just thought, who's this pretty boy?
Right. I think he is.
They're trying to shove down our throat. I just didn't
that album cover does look like that.
Yeah, he's really handsome, and he's standing there, and I just, the cover actually turned me off, and then a little while later, I started to hear the music, and I was like, oh my God, who is that? And it's Jeff Buckley. Oh, wow. Yeah. This guy's amazing. He's sick.
You know what happened to me with that guy? I was playing, they used to do this thing on Sunday nights at Steamboat with Stephen Doster and Will Sexton and Tommy Taylor and those. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was going there to play with those guys, and I'd showed up early, and Langer came over, and he was like, hey, you want to come over into Chicago House? Tim Buckley's kid is playing. And I'm like, I don't even want to say, no. I don't want to go. And then, yeah, I didn't go to that Chicago House show.
You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding.
No, I wouldn't cross the street. I didn't feel like it.
Wow.
What a dumbass.
Yeah. I have to say I was a fan of Tim Buckley.
Were you?
Yeah. Well, like I said, record stores, especially in L.A., you find kind of rare things that used to be, you know, on a major label, and there they are, these records. And Tim Buckley, Greetings from L.A., was...
popular.
On the shelf. Not popular. No, not popular.
But it was there.
Yeah. It's just something I latched onto. What's this? This is cool.
Okay, so let's...
find some stuff that we can argue about.
Yeah, because that one is an obvious winner.
I think we both agree. We all three agree.
Let's talk about How Can You Mend a Broken Heart.
Ooh, yeah. Now we're talking.
So the Bee Gees did it, and then there's this Al Green version that's just like from another planet as well.
I haven't heard it.
What?
No.
You've never heard it?
Okay, this will be good. Okay, so play the Bee
Gees. Of course I've heard the Bee Gees, which I think is a fantastic version.
You've never heard the Al Green version?
Uh-uh.
This is amazing. Okay,
okay. Good. This is
all right, so here, let's listen to the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
Yeah, they're so laid back.
Nice compressor on that bass. Altec limiter. I can
think of younger days. Something that used to always make me and my friends laugh when we were kids. I can think of younger days.
Every Bee Gees song does this. It has this beginning that's like, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, sledgehammer hook comes in.
Now...
wait for it.
I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. That's the magic.
Oh, it's double.
These headphones on.
Yeah.
Get everything. How can you stop the rain
from falling down? So.
How can you stop? Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's good. Didn't they write that for someone? Did they write one of their songs for like Otis Redding?
Al Green?
Well, it sounds like they did.
I don't know, but they had a hit with it in their own right. That was a big hit for them.
Okay. And then how many years later did Al Green's come out? Do you know?
A few years later? Got to do some research. Yeah. Not sure when Al Green's version.
I bet the 70s, I guess.
Yeah, 70s for sure. But
all right. So here, for the first time for Tony Scalzo, this is Al Green, How Could You Mend a Broken Heart? I realize
like
just
that
what
B3.
You mean.
Some strings come in. Very Memphis.
Hmm. I just thought of a really good one.
Okay.
That we can do after this.
See, we're just on the fly. Think of younger days when I lived for my life. Was everything a man could want to do? I could never see tomorrow. I was never told.
Okay, it doesn't have half of the humor in the opening.
Right. Well, it's
Yeah.
It doesn't
it's
have
the
all
process
the,
of that song is being owned right there, I think.
I feel like that too.
Mm-hmm. When he said that, the first line, totally off rhythm.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Instead of ding-ding-ding. He's like taking control of it right off the bat. Right.
So which one do you, you haven't heard the whole thing, but which one do you like better?
Well, I never liked the Bee Gees much growing up. It was very difficult for me to wrap my head around those guys.
Yeah.
Especially since they came into, you know, my consciousness right just before
Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
Just before then, it was a blue album with the spoon and the girl in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
that main course?
I just didn't. I was really into Ted Nugent. So.
Yeah, I could see how that wouldn't work.
Yeah, so, you know, but then getting to appreciate their catalog, I mean, oh my God, such great recordings and great songs and vocal delivery, great stuff. Much appreciate them now, but I have to say I'm going to give it to Al Green because it's just badder.
Yeah.
Just badder and better.
Yeah. Where are you at?
I listened to it the other day and thought Al Green hands down, but now listening to it, I think it's almost a tie because the Bee Gees is more accessible in a certain way. Well, sitting here with you two waiting for something to happen. The Bee Gees, things start to happen right away.
Yeah.
Al Green's more like chilled out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I'd still give it to Al Green. And what I want you to do now is find Al Green's version of I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh.
You ever heard this?
Uh-uh.
Have you ever heard this? Because this will be fun to debate.
No, I haven't heard it.
Okay.
You know, everyone loves the Beatles. I love the Beatles. But this might
we could do a whole show on Beatles covers.
This might be a better version.
is this a show?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a better version, but you know that Joe Cocker version of With a Little Help from My Friends? That is... okay, I want to hold your hand.
Check it out.
Wait. No, I'm not getting it.
Hold on. It's there.
Okay. Like that
Cocker
version,
turns it into a real song instead of a throwaway track from a great record.
Right.
Pardon me for saying it's a throwaway track. I just think it's good. I guess maybe it's because Ringo's singing. I kind of have an aversion to the Ringo songs.
You do?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you find it?
In fact, I think that one's one of the best for Ringo. What would you think?
Yeah.
I mean, Yellow Submarine, sure, whatever. It's just kind of a good
I guess,
song,
but it's also like the execution of it, like the thing. You know what I mean? I guess it is Ringo.
At the end, that ding, 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 ding.
Hold on, I have to keep on looking here.
Here, let me have it. Okay. I can find it for you.
Hold on. Al Green. I'm just going to go there. You know what album it is?
Yeah, let me see.
Here. Sorry, there's a little pop on the thing. As far as do you like the Joe Cocker version better?
Well, he turns it into a really intense performance instead of a sort of one-dimensional poppy number.
There you go.
What about Beatles songs? Like, I mean, what about Twist and Shout? You know,
as opposed to the original.
Well, we could go there after this.
Well, hold on. Okay, here. This is Al Green. I Want to Hold Your Hand.
We got the feeling now. Oh, boy. That'll... All right, man. Yeah, man. Ooh, yeah. I tell you something, girl.
Yeah.
That's Steve Cropper on the guitar.
I don't know.
Got to hold your hand.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Great.
That is a great version.
I wouldn't say he's owning it. He's different, like you said before.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different take.
I like the name of that album, Love Ritual.
Well, there's also
Chet Atkins doing all the Beatles songs.
There's also the again, the sort of just even in probably, I don't know what year that record came out. What year did that record come out? Do you have still have it up?
No, but I can look at it. Love Ritual.
What year does it say?
It doesn't say.
68.
I'm betting. It looks 68-ish.
Okay, well, anyways, the technology.
Plus just, the sound of it.
Even just the few short years, the sound of that.
All right.
Sounds so much fuller than... When I go back and listen to I Want to Hold Your Hand, it's... It sounds like it was recorded on a little...
It's killer.
Tape recorder.
The two guitars are so killer. The one guitar's going... Yuck, 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 while the other guitar's going...
Yeah.
All these little, you know,
he's just doing fills.
Yeah.
Single note fills, yeah.
He's going...
Yeah. It's cool.
In fact, in Skyrocket, we do that song, and I stand in front of Kyle, who plays that... Because I have...
What about the clapping?
I do the clapping.
Okay, play it.
Okay. You got me. Okay, play it.
I want to hear it.
Plus, the hi-hat work from Ringo is amazing.
Yeah, the hi-hat work from Ringo is amazing. Hold on. What about other Beatle covers? What about when Beatles cover songs?
What about Earth, Wind, and Fire doing Got to Get You Into My Life? Mm. So obvious for this thing. Beatles covering like Hank Williams or whatever.
Why am I missing this? I'm going to hold it. Okay, here we go. Don't bad bones.
Oh yeah, I tell you something. I think you'll understand.
Man, there's just something about the energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wanna hold your hand. What a hit. What a hit.
Like you can almost taste that they want something.
Yeah, exactly.
They want it all. The like hunger. It's in all those recordings,
They've
you know.
They've got the hunger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young.
Okay, what else is on this list?
Trousers.
Let's go back to our list. Great shot. Let's Talk Nothing Compares to You. Now, when that song came out, most of us had never even heard the Prince version.
Right.
We didn't
I'm
even
one
know.
Of those.
There, I don't think there is a Prince version. It's the family.
The family. Right. Madhouse? Or was it the family? The family.
I think it's the family. Okay. I don't even know if this is a good one to do because there is no... It's
no actual...
Yeah, usually all the other ones, there's the author involved in the actual thing, but the family, right. I didn't think Prince...
So that's
it.
Why I thought it might not be that great either for this, but...
Besides, yeah. She just...
Her version is killer.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
I think this version that I have here is him.
Okay.
This is Prince.
It sounds like Prince.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
This sounds like a Gold Experience era.
It's pretty wedding, huh?
Yeah.
80s wedding.
Yeah, it's that kind of disappointing compared to hers.
Well, he needs to get down to it.
Yeah.
It's live. Well, you know, also, it's a woman to count those. Excuse me for being sexist, but seems to me a woman would be counting those. That's like a line that a woman would sing.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I'm only thinking that because I only first heard it from a woman.
Right.
And just the sensitivity of counting those days and minutes and, you know, that's the impression I got.
Let's hear a woman.
She gets right into it.
I like that it doesn't change chords.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Plus all the gymnastics she does with her voice.
Yeah.
And the simple synth thing, it's like a This Mortal Coil track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 4AD.
Yeah. Which was pretty influential at that point.
Big sound. It was great to hear something like that on the radio, too.
Yeah. Were you guys fans of hers before this song?
Yeah.
Like,
I
did
was.
You guys?
I didn't get it.
Oh.
I thought she was just caterwauling.
Oh, I liked what she did.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I liked that first
record. I liked this. When I heard this, I was like, "She's all right."
Yeah.
It was exciting because I knew who she was already. I had that first record,
right.
Lion and the Cobra.
Yeah.
And I thought she was cool, and I liked a couple songs, and it was exciting to feel like something that you thought was cool suddenly became this massive thing that everybody knew about. It was fun to watch.
You know?
It was fun to see it happen.
Oh, and her whole trajectory too, because then she had that Saturday Night Live thing, and then Frank Sinatra was talking shit about her in the press, and then she became a Catholic priest,
and now she's like got issues right now. There's like stuff on the news about her, like being, you know,
I have a feeling she like if you were her manager, that would have been a lot of work, man. I bet she was a lot of work.
Yeah.
To manage. Probably. Like if you had to deal with that every day and getting those calls. Like,
oh, I just
seems
saw
like she
that,
would be unreasonable.
That Bob Dylan fest, Bob fest. Yeah. And she's on there and all she does is scowl.
Well, everyone boos her off the stage because it was like a couple days after Saturday Night Live. And then
Chris
Christopherson had to come and like rescue her.
You're all right, girl. I'll take care of you. Sinead.
And to think, like, you know, when I remember Sinead. Seeing her name in the it's real weird, in the First World Party album. And then when the very first stories about her came out, I remember there was an article about her like in Musician magazine, remember that?
Oh, I used
and
to get it.
They talked about how like when she was on the same label as World Party, and like when they signed her, she was like 16, they didn't know what to do with her, so they just sent her to Carl Wallinger and they were like, "Can you figure out what's going on with this chick?" And so he had her sing on one of those songs on Private Revolution and then like sent her back. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, small that world. Is weird.
And he thought he was Prince. That's what it's all coming full circle.
Oh, like a super duper producer type.
We kind of had that thing going on, making his own records by himself. And,
right.
Yeah.
We quit the Waterboys, right? And then
right.
World Party.
World Party. Hey, let's talk about can we go silly for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so MacArthur Park was a song by Jimmy Webb, came out in the '60s. Richard Harris had a hit with it.
Yeah.
Let's hear that first because we
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little snappier than the
dramatic.
Those are real pianos. Two of them. Brass quartet. For us girls, he ran one step ahead
as we followed in the dance. Yes. How would you write a song like this?
I don't know, but I keep on thinking about like the business side, like the record guy that had to go to radio with this. Like,
but he's
got a single from the guy from Camelot.
He's a man called Horse, though. I mean, he's
a hit.
Yeah.
He was already famous, so it's going to be a hit no matter what.
Plus, Jimmy Webb was hot. He wrote, he'd written all those hits. He wrote Up and Away.
Oh, right. In My Beautiful Balloon.
I love that song.
Kind of a similar vibe.
Who's that Fifth Dimension?
You couldn't get away from that Fifth Dimension.
No.
Back in those days.
No.
Every time you turned the television on, they were on.
Okay, let's hear the Dawn of Summer.
Let's hear the Dawn of Summer version, which is the version that we're all...
Heard this in a while. Spring was never waiting for us, dear. It ran one step ahead. You notice the similarity?
Yeah.
With Sinead O'Connor.
Oh yeah.
How there's strings and sort of long
things
that hold the
patch. Simpler thing.
It's more legato.
Yeah. And let the vocal do all the work.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Is this a Giorgio murder? Again, it must have been. It was in that era of Giorgio.
I thought you were checking for goosebumps, but you were checking the time.
He was checking for goosebumps.
I wasn't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this one gets a beat going.
I mean, don't you think that's a ridiculous string of words right there?
I thought that was weird when
I
was 9.
Fucking cake recipe, really?
Who left the cake out in the rain?
Yeah, that's cool. Those are those electric bongos.
Look out. They just let us into Studio 54.
A couple of rails really helps.
That's definitely a cocaine idea. Just like Don't yeah. Let Me Be Misunderstood was.
And Jimmy Webb,
when that was like a
just goes out great, to his mailbox one day and that he's was like, a great, all right.
That is a great cocaine idea. I love that second version.
Yeah, me too. That's the version that defines. I listen to the very beginning of the Richard Harris laugh and go to my.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny
Donna
though
Summer.
Is that people, it was a hit twice. That's amazing to me, that you can get through all the beginning.
Yeah.
That whole beginning nonsense.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you finally get to the payoff, which is, and it took so long to bake it.
And I'll never have the recipe.
Didn't that guy write Galveston?
Yeah.
Yep.
Man. Uh-huh. Now that's
and Wichita Lineman.
Yeah.
Yep.
And by the time I get to Phoenix, by the time I get
she'll to Phoenix. She'll be rising. Yep.
By
Jimmy
the
Webb,
time
famous.
I find the Kleenex.
Okay, is that it? Are we out of tunes?
No, we're not out of tunes. I couldn't find the Slade version of Come On Field.
Come on.
But I've never heard the Oasis version.
Oh, all that's right. Good.
Can we hear that one first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like total Oasis.
Baby, baby.
Backwards cymbal crashing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a vocal, man.
He's one of those guys that could sing the phone book.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's the vocal all the way. There's no separation in the mix. It's like mud. It sounds like crap. But the voice. It's a B-side.
Yeah,
anyway.
was that like a What's a Story
B-side.
Morning Glory?
Yeah.
It's a B-side. Okay. Yeah. From that era.
Right. Yeah, they just piled shit on there.
I suspect cocaine was involved.
Oh, yeah.
Now play the now play Quiet Riot.
Come on, feel the noise. Coming out with the chorus.
So great. This guy can't sing at all, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
He gets the notes, that's about it, but there's no cool tone or anything. He just
Yeah.
I like the way he says don't know why.
Yeah. Speaking of watching things.
So we negate the original. We don't have
well,
it.
Well, we can't well, find it.
Hold on. Let
Johnny
me see.
Can't find
let me look
it.
One more time. Hey, man. You guys are making me look like it's my fault here.
You can edit this part.
No, because Sade is the only person that comes up.
Slade? There's no Slade.
There's no Slade.
Get it together, Spotify.
Oh, there is
Sade.
Sade
did it?
Slade.
Sade?
Mm.
Oh.
Slade.
What a version she must have had of the song.
Slade, no? So no, this is a rapper named Slade.
So you think,
weird.
So you think.
Yeah.
I got an evil mind.
Yeah.
It's my Sade version.
I
why do they call it Sade?
I don't know. Oh, here's the thing about Quiet Riot. I guess it's mean to say, but that singer guy, what's the
Kevin
opposite?
Kevin Dubrow.
Yeah, what's the opposite of a receding hairline?
A dude bro.
That's what he has. He has a
dude bro?
Yeah, like in 83 or whenever that song came out.
Right, he was
he
already.
Was, he was going.
Larry from the
mid-90s, full action Jackson. So.
Yeah, well.
That's a thing I watched. We were talking about watching things. I watched the Us Festival. I watched that weird interview.
Scorpions, dude.
The weird interview that never was aired. The 15 minutes of Mark
Van
Goodman and David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
That,
they
that
broadcast
man must have
that
been...
live to the audience on the diamond screens.
Oh, they did.
We all watched it before they came out.
You were there?
Oh, I was there. They were still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But they were a mess. A mess. They were a mess.
We know why. Because he was... Anyways, we can talk about this.
You can tell in that video.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can
the
tell
the Scorpions owned that night, the metal day. They owned it.
I saw a little bit of triumph.
Lame. Lame. Ozzy
like,
was pretty
they
good.
They were like Zebra and Rush combined.
Judas Priest tried to rule it, but Scorpions came out and
Scorpions
wiped
did
up
rule
the floor.
Well,
with
speaking
them.
Of Judas Priest,
yeah.
let's get to this.
Diamonds and Rust.
Yeah. So they covered. I had no
first
idea.
First play Joan Baez.
This is Joan Baez's song, "Diamonds and Rust."
Pretty cool, man.
You could see how this could go metal.
Let me just spark up a dude.
You know what
right
I mean?
Yeah, man.
Love Joan Baez.
Joan.
I mean, this sounds like one of those songs where the guy comes out and the guitar's on the stand.
Yeah, it does.
And then he busts
Cinderella
out the mini Moog.
Well, I'll be damned. Here comes your ghost again.
It's really good.
But that's not unusual. It's just that the moon is full. And you
who else did this song other than her?
Probably a lot of people.
I know this song.
So play the live Judas Priest version of this.
I don't know if I have the live.
Unleashed in the East.
Okay, let me find that one.
Oh, well, no, that's not going to be good enough.
Okay, hold on.
That's not going to be good. The studio version's weak.
Okay, hold on. Judas Priest.
Plus, you need to hear the way he announces the song.
Is it as good as his? One of my favorite
it's
ones
crazy.
That he does is, breaking the what? Breaking the what?
Bring it along. I can't do it right now.
Wait, what's the name
allergies.
Of the album?
Unleashed in the East, live in Japan.
Here we go. Unleashed in the East, live in Japan, Diamonds and Rust.
We missed the announcement.
Oh, okay. Is that the end of the other thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It's okay.
You guys had it, man.
Yeah. He's got such a rad voice, man.
So different.
Yeah.
I mean, and I wouldn't say it's better than the other one at all. Because I think the other one's really cool.
Yeah.
I own it. I listen to it. You know, it comes on my iPod shuffle every once in a while, and I'm like, cool. You know, but the Priest one, that record was huge for me and a lot of my friends growing up. It was just we know it like the back of our hands.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, I didn't know that it was a cover. I was like, when I first heard that it was a cover, I just didn't even believe it.
It sounds like a Judas Priest song.
Yeah. They make it. Anyway, they make it sound that way.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway, fuck those guys. I know you got nothing to say about them.
You got nothing to say? What about Knocking on Heaven's Door by Guns N' Roses?
Oh, God. Here's something we could sink our teeth into.
Yeah.
Because I thought their version was the most pointless travesty of a great song.
Sure.
They certainly put their stamp on it in the like worst way. I mean, there's a whole generation of people that think Knocking on Heaven's Door goes Knocking on Heaven's Door. Hey, yeah. That's horrible. That's a horrible addition.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bob was pleased, you know, just with the giant mailbox check that showed up. But
yeah.
But
that'd be good.
Yeah.
But man, it added. There are people that think that's how it goes. If you pick up an acoustic guitar at a party,
yeah,
and play it,
there's going to be
all
people
the people are going to go, hey. They're going to point at you when they do it.
we can include that because that'll be fun to have, you know.
Yeah.
This banter on there.
Yeah, I enjoy. I never liked that version. Just to be straight with you guys.
Yeah, good.
That was a fan, but I am a fan of Guns N' Roses.
The Dylan version is kind of different from most Dylan productions too, because it's got the, you know, sort of temple blocks.
It's also got
the strings.
It's got the ooh.
Yeah, it's not strings. It's vocals, right?
Yeah, it's got big vocal patches, which he never does. Like big long.
What record is that on?
Nashville Skyline, is it?
It's on Billy the Kid on the album.
All right.
Whatever.
Okay.
Right.
The Pat soundtrack. Garrett
and Pat Garrett and Billy the Pit Kid.
Which was also the genesis for the song Wagon Wheel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. That chorus of that is on there.
Oh, really?
Just the chorus. And then the guys in the Old Crow Medicine Show, the guy took it upon himself to write all the verses.
Wow.
And the music for the verses. And sent it to, you know, sent it to Bob's, to basically got in touch with Bob's people for it to be approved to use it. They were like, yeah, go ahead. And it became this huge hit. Now it's this, everybody plays that song.
Yeah. Huh. I actually had somebody on my show a while back that has to play it all the time at
cover
shows.
Oh, people love
yeah.
it. People love it.
Yeah.
That's a great song, actually. Yeah. I'm gonna stand up and defend it. I know people that don't like it.
Play some Wagon Wheel.
Let's hear
There's two versions, and I'll tell you which one I think is definitive. But you can play Old Crow Medicine Show. I'm assuming this is the original. Here we go. Time.
Headed down south to the land of the pines. I'm thumbing my way to North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights.
Sounds like Robert Earl Keen.
I made it down the coast in 17 hours.
Okay.
It's funny when those songs. Okay, what do you want to hear? The Darius Rucker version?
That's the version, man. Darius Rucker owns this tune.
Okay. Hootie?
Hootie.
Yeah. Already it's better.
It's a little faster.
It's more pro job. It's more Nashville, but I like it. Once he starts singing, really.
Heading down south to the land of
He's a good singer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In North Carolina, staring up the road.
It's funny, to me it seems like the difference between country music and Americana.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
But
except country music doesn't sound like that anymore.
Right.
Right.
It right. sounds like country music.
That right. sounded like 90s country
right,
music.
Right, right.
Country music now sounds like Van Halen.
It does. It has a weird kind of combination of Aerosmith. Def Leppard and Jay-Z to me.
Yeah.
It's like a weird combo
true.
Of that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Of course, in 20 years, people go, what about the good stuff? You know, like... Florida Georgia Line. You know, I mean, how it's so obvious. I mean, the older it is, if it's country, it'll eventually become classic country.
Right.
What else you got there, Johnny?
I'm looking because it's giving us suggestions.
Is it giving us cover suggestions?
Yeah, it's giving us, gave us Knocking on Heaven's Doors.
AI's taking over.
House of the Rising Sun. Who did that other than the Animals?
Well,
there's
a folk
song,
right? Old, yeah, it's an old traditional. I tried to work that one in, but
I wouldn't mess.
I couldn't
one.
Really find a definitive original.
You talked about I Fought the Law.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Sure, I love the Clash version of that.
Me too.
But you know, Bobby Fuller.
Right. Let's hear that Bobby Fuller version
from El Paso, Texas. You can tell why the Clash liked it.
Yeah. I love this song.
Great recording, too.
Yeah.
Got clapping on it.
Yeah.
If you want to make a song better, you got to clap.
All hit records got clapping on it.
Yeah. All hits got the clap.
Well, and then there's the dut dut dut, the six gun, right?
Right.
Their six gun is great. Yeah. You can't really jump to it, but...
Let me ask you this. The thing with the Clash one that really gets me is I can see them.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like standing like...
Totally.
Like the way that they stood.
The way they bounced.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Their upper body just bounced in unison.
I think it's because they've got Topper Hedden playing drums, and those drums are ridiculous.
He's so killer.
Play it.
Let's hear it.
Plus this guitar thing right here.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't your parents, I Fought the Law. You know what I mean?
No, it is actually. It's not your grandparent.
Yeah, here's the deal. It sounds like Joe Strummer actually fought the law, and the law won. You know what I mean? Like, it has that.
Yeah. Well, the other guy did too, just in a 1950s kind of way.
Yeah.
More for like writing phony checks.
Plus, he was murdered. Bobby Fuller was murdered.
He was?
Yeah. He was shot.
So that gives him the cred.
And they think it was his brother.
That gives him the cred, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
But
I have to whisper.
But the Clash version.
It's an old story about
the Clash version is my favorite.
Yeah. You can tell by the Clash.
Yeah, I like the Clash version a lot.
It's like Van Halen, You Really Got Me. It's the same. It's got the same improvements to the original.
Right.
It's sexier. It kind of swings harder. It's just more.
Yeah. They're true to it. But they just do it with that more, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Nefarious.
Yeah.
More nefarious.
They're a little more nefarious. What songs have you guys covered?
Gosh.
Have you guys ever covered stuff
One of our first recordings was Jenny Jenny.
8675.
Yeah. We played it twice as fast.
I'll get you that recording.
Keeping with the trend.
That one is...
Is that with a Kanak?
Yeah.
I remember that. I had that. Yeah,
and we've done This Guy's In Love With You.
Yeah, we did
Burt Bacharach, which is a really good version, I think.
Okay.
It's a good version. It's not as good as, what's his name? Paul Anka?
All right.
Who sang it?
I don't know.
Who sang it.
Devo?
Oh, yeah. What about Devo? That was one. I was making lists in my head.
Devo has some great covers.
For the last week. Satisfaction, yeah.
Yeah. Better than the original.
Mm. No, it's not.
Can't really.
It's not better than the original.
It's different.
Yeah.
Talking Heads Take Me to the River. I think that's a great thing, but I mean, it's different.
Yeah, it is very different.
That's the whole idea, I think, behind those covers. It's like, let's try and do them a little different. Oh, I had a good version of Under the Boardwalk by the Undertones is one of my favorites.
Oh, let's hear that. Do you have that?
Under the Boardwalk. Yeah.
And then I have one more, and then we can conclude. We can conclude and see if we have any.
We've only just touched the tip of the iceberg on our list, too.
Wait, who did you say it's by?
The Undertones from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Probably don't have it.
No, there's just so many people.
You're just probably not cool enough to have it.
The Undertones. Nope. I'm not cool enough to have
it.
Okay,
do...
Falling Off the Face of the Earth.
Do Breathless.
Oh, X?
Yeah, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Right.
This is a good one.
Their version is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Can you do Jerry Lee Lewis first?
Mm-hmm. If I can find Jerry Lee Lewis.
Not Jerry Lewis.
You leave me breathless, lady. Breathless. Hold on, let me see if I can find the Jerry Lee Lewis version first. This is a tough thing to do. I like that you guys have totally just given up and now you're just playing guitar. Like, I'm trying to keep a show going here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I'm totally just fucking with you, dude.
I'm going to edit all this out.
You're going to, but I'm not, man. I like the real deal going on.
So this
here.
Is a joint venture, right? This is partly How Did Isn't I Get exciting? Here and partly Fastball Spotify Playlist. Yeah.
I'm having too hard of a time finding this. You can play it on yours.
You can put on your, when you do this podcast and put it up, you can put, in parentheses, caution, dead air.
You know, maybe Johnny should be in Fastball.
Oh, man. I have suggested that to a lot of people for a while.
Except us.
Well, because I'm scared of you guys. Yeah, if you guys needed me to be in Fastball, I would be there.
You could do so much.
Maybe so.
Here's the X version.
Vocals, okay. Keyboards, guitar.
Here we go.
Yeah. Man. Those three guys together are so killer. DJ Billy and John.
You. Yeah.
So great. Recorded by Paul DeGray, I bet. One of their biggest hits because of the movie.
Oh, right.
The remake of the Godard film.
Wasn't it a Kim Basinger and
something like that.
Mickey Rourke.
Richard Gere, yeah. Richard Gere.
Yeah. He was a cool dude. Breathless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't find the Jerry Lee Lewis, but Better Than Ezra did it. You guys ever see those guys out there?
We played a show with them, but I missed them.
They were always real nice.
They're nice.
I never met them.
Have
you met them?
I've talked to one of the dudes in that band.
Yeah.
But I over the phone, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had a mutual friend. A mutual friend.
Who was the mutual friend? Drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our dealer.
Your guy.
Squeaky.
The guy. And you're calling the guy.
The man.
So this was it. We played a lot of songs.
We did.
Any ones that before we go, any last covers that you guys want to suggest out there?
Well, there's the Germs with, what's the song? Set the joint. Well, it's rocking round and round and round, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Stones doing I Want to Be Your Man.
Oh, yeah.
Really killer.
That's a good one.
What about California Sun with the Ramones?
Love it. They were great at covers.
They did a
lot
of covers.
The Dickies, man. The Dickies did so many great covers.
I don't even know the Dickies. Oh, I know the name. God. Is that a punk band from California?
Yeah. One of the first and one of the best.
Yeah?
They did a great version of Knights in White Satin.
did you
really fast.
You sent that was in your
list
of songs.
Yeah, that was in my thing, but they also covered the Banana Splits theme.
Oh, yeah.
Gigantor theme. So good. You got to check out the Dickies, man.
Did you read that book, the John Doe, Tom DeSavio book?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good book. I interviewed DeSavio for the
I thought it was going to be all about X, but it was about all everything.
Of them. Yeah.
I really, and I love the fact that they brought up the Chicano punk thing, you know, with the Zeros and some great bands. And that whole influence was always there in the L.A. scene. And it was all... You know, before all the hardcore muscleheads, there was every type of music represented in the punk scene.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like punk as a genre. It was like, oh, we're going to a punk show. Who's playing? Oh, the Blasters and the Go-Go's and, you know, it'd be like, and Los Lobos.
Yeah.
You know?
And even like Dwight Yoakam came up in that.
Sure,
scene,
he was on Slash.
Yeah.
He was on Slash Records.
Yeah.
And played at the, you know, the Palomino.
I just saw him in a movie the other day. He's in some movie I saw.
Sling Blade?
No. It's a new movie. I was at the movies and I saw the new Soderbergh movie.
Oh, he's in
Logan Lucky. Lucky Logan. Yeah, he's great in it. Oh. Always great. Yeah. Well, hey, it's great to have you guys
it's
on.
Good to have you.
Get out there and see Fastball. They will be on the West Coast and the East Coast.
Yes.
Touring. Fastballtheband.com.
One more.
Yeah. Let's go. I love it.
What? Jason and the Scorchers.
Oh, yeah.
What was theirs?
Sweet Marie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bob
Sweet
Dylan
Marie.
Cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jason and the Scorchers. Yeah.
Can you type in
Let's
Jason
look it up.
Scorchers.
Absolutely, Sweet Marie.
That's a good one.
Oops. God. I'm having like a grandpa moment.
Maybe we should leave with this one.
We will. Absolutely, Sweet Marie.
Uh-huh.
Bob Dylan, Jason and the Scorchers. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks to Miles and Tony from Fastball. Get out there and check them out.
Well, you're a rogue. You know I just can't jump.
Here's the guitar.
Sometimes it gets so hard to say.
Say. They turn it into Warner.
I had one of those guys on.
Warner